His Honor, the mayor of Racine, the city of Racine. I have to say city because people say, oh, is he the mayor of the county? No, they don't have mayors of the county.
Right.
City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason is here. Thanks for joining us again.
Always happy to be here. Good morning.
No flu.
No flu, no
broken arms, no limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
No blizzards this week.
You're getting to February.
That's right.
Feeling good. I'm happy for you. All right. What's the state of the city right now? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. We're excited about some projects we've got coming up this summer. We had the governor in town just yesterday to talk about affordability and his proposal to reduce property taxes with some of the state surplus. That would certainly be a welcome move here for residents. They saw quite a increase in property taxes with the last budget. The state, instead of giving money to local schools, said to the schools, you can have more money, but only if you increase the property tax bill, which puts school districts in a tough spot. So our school district, like many others, increased the property tax. But boy, we sure heard about it when people paid their bills this year. So there's extra money at the state that they want to help lower people's property tax bills. That would be a welcome move, I think.
Yeah, my bill went up.
Yeah.
And it went up, you know, things go up in price. It didn't bother me as much as it did a lot of other people. I don't know why, it just didn't bother me because I just paid it.
Yeah.
And you know what's different? When you have a mortgage, the money comes from the mortgage company. So it's kind of painless in a way.
Right.
When your mortgage is all paid up, now you got to write the check.
Yeah.
So it's a little more painful.
Yeah. When it feels like it's just part of built into your monthly budget, it's a little bit
easier. Yeah, right. So, you don't feel it as much.
Yeah.
So, the governor, have good news other than the property taxes have to go up?
He's got a proposal it would be great if they could find a bipartisan solution to doing some property tax relief. And, you know, so there's a couple months left in the legislative session before the legislature adjourns for the year. And then, ideally they would reach some sort of agreement before they go home for the summer. So with any luck, in the next couple of months, we can find a bipartisan agreement that they can reach. I know legislative Democrats have been working hard on their proposal with the governor. So it'd be great if we could get to a place where there was some property tax relief, either by funding the schools directly again or just some sort of abatement for property taxpayers. But, you know, the trend that we've seen really in the last 20 years is where the state used to fund 2/3 of schools, or the state used to, you know, substantially contribute to police and fire costs for cities like Racine. They've really walked away from that commitment. And so that leaves cities and school districts with little choice but to put it back on the property taxpayers. And, you know, we'd rather see the state live up to its responsibilities to help fund local services.
Police and fire, contracts done. Signed, sealed,
yes.
Delivered?
Yeah, signed, sealed, delivered, done. So we have a 4-year deal with both police and fire. So our thanks. I think we've got the staff officers unions to do, which is a smaller group, but they usually have a very similar deal there. But yeah, both the Local 321 and the Racine Police Association have 4-year deals.
We had a house burn a couple of blocks, not far from me, on Buchanan and Hubbard. And person lost their life. Young lady lost her life.
Yeah. Saving her siblings.
Right? Yeah, I know. It's just it's a horror story.
Yeah.
But the fire department came in there to rescue. Yeah. I mean, these people run into burning houses. Everybody else is running away. They're running into a burning house.
Yeah.
And it was a tragedy. I saw the memorial set up in front. But, I mean, do they know what started that fire?
They don't yet, but I think about, you know, being a 21-year-old and you've got these, you know, younger siblings and you literally put your life on the line to get them out. And then, you know, she made it out of the fire, but then expired a few days later.
In the hospital.
I mean, we really were hoping she was going to make it. Those firefighters are called on to do very dangerous work. Police officers too.
Police officer, I watch enough YouTube videos. You can pull someone over for a seatbelt infraction.
Right.
You walk up to the car and they pull a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I would never deal with that. I'm so happy. You know, as a kid, I said, what are you, a policeman? What was I thinking?
Yeah, it's a tough job.
It's a dangerous job.
Yeah, and it's not for everyone.
It's not for me, I'll tell you that. I like being a nice room with nobody around, except you. That's nice. Okay, if you have a question for the mayor, you can ask. And just go to the Civic Media app, download the Civic Media app, and you'll see WRJN on a list of radio stations there. And just click on that and write your question. We'll try to get to it. Let's talk about the sister city. I thought our sister city was in France, or do we have more than one?
We have 5 sister cities.
Oh, okay.
So we do have a sister city in Owiso, Japan, which we've been sister cities.
Now, this is neat. The students can go there.
That's right. That's right. So we have received students from Owiso for the last several years, and this year they Return. So we have an opportunity for three students to go to OESO Japan. They have to be city residents that are, you know, between 9th and 11th grade. And we'll help defer some of the costs. But if you are a young person listening who thinks, or you're the parent or a grandparent of a young person listening, thinking, boy, it would be great to have my son or daughter have an experience with a week-long exchange and go to OESO Japan and see another culture and learn about another culture, here's an opportunity to do that this summer.
I see where Godzilla used to walk.
I don't know if that's in the tour, but
Godzilla was all over Japan.
OESO is right on the ocean, about an hour and a half southeast of or southwest rather of Tokyo. So it's a nice seaside city of about 50,000 people, and you know they're always very hospitable when they come here and are so great. And you know, this is our opportunity to, as we've hosted people from OESO here for several years, this is our chance to send some students over who want to, you know, try their hand at learning a different culture and representing our community overseas. It's a great opportunity. I'd certainly encourage city residents 9th through 11th grade to apply.
How do they do it?
So if you go to our Facebook page, we've got information, or you can call our office, or if you Google Sister City Racine, we've got an application on the website there for people to apply.
How do they pick Racine as a sister city?
So the sister city is a great question. So people sometimes ask, what's the sister city thing? What's that all about? So, you know, after World War II, there was this feeling that, you know, maybe if there were relationships between cities, you know, France and Germany in particular, right? There'd been three wars in the previous 100 years between France and Germany in one form or another. So maybe if we could do some exchanges with people when national governments get a little bit out of whack or want to be overly aggressive, the fact that they'll have these relationships between communities can lead to some better diplomacy and tamp that down. So we have a sister city in France coming out of World War II. We have a sister city in Japan that we established in the 60s. Our most recent one is in Canada. So Brantford, Ontario is our most recent sister city. But it creates opportunities for us to be able to, reach across national divides that might exist and get to know people on a personal level and do cultural exchanges with different communities. And it can be a very powerful, edifying thing for members of the community to do, to host people from another culture and to go visit another culture. And, you know, as national politics get a little bit more frayed or out of whack, it's a reminder that we have these personal relationships city to city that can transcend some of the international politics that might go awry.
When Greg Berg, he used to host the Racine Symphony Orchestra at Festival Hall.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it one day. They said, can you do it? I said, I got my talk. Yeah, I'll go over there and do it. I brought my girlfriend with me. And I arranged with the conductor that at intermission, do not let keep them on the stage. Don't let them off. And I'm going to propose to my girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
And that was the night France Sister City was there.
Yeah, Montelamar.
Yeah, they were there. And I brought her up during the intermission. She was shaking. Thank goodness she was dressed really nice. I mean, tuxedo over. And I proposed.
That's great.
She said yes. You know.
Oh, yeah.
That was about 20 years ago.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was our sister city was there. That's where money of it. And by the way, just a brief little thing. There is one place in all of Tokyo in 70 Godzilla movies, 70, that he never destroyed. One place in all of Tokyo.
What is it?
The Emperor's Palace.
Ah.
Out of respect for the Emperor. Godzilla didn't make that choice. The filmmakers made that choice. That's the only place he's never destroyed. Everything else was up for, you know.
Up for grabs.
For stomping. Bizana City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason joining us this morning. I know this is not a good breakfast topic. Let's talk about lead pipes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you got to replace them.
We do.
Is there a date they have to be replaced by?
Yeah, so we have 10 years under the mandate from the federal government to remove them all. However, the federal government's only giving money to help you pay for it for the next 5. So it's a quirk of the infrastructure law. I didn't write the laws. I'm just going to take advantage of it, right? So we got a $40 million grant from the federal government to do the first phase of removing those lead pipes. And so we've got about 12,000 households left that have those lead pipes. And so we'll begin that this summer. And so if you live just north of the river, sort of near Main Street, that's the neighborhood we're gonna start with.
North Main?
Yeah, north of the river on that Main Street area there, going over to about, not as far as Douglas, but it's about a 12-block area. And so letters have already gone out to that neighborhood letting them know, hey,
I didn't get a letter.
I think you're south of that area.
Oh, good. How did people get to their homes?
So it won't be like a road project where it's ripped up for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? So the idea is that we do a few. So when I first looked at it, I'm like, are you telling me we're going to rip up a square mile of roads for like the entire summer? No, but they do it like basically three rows at a time. And there's some roads where the lead main was replaced a long time ago. And we just need to, you know, take out the lead laterals that feed into the main. And that case, you're just digging a small trench in the road to be able to do that. There are other streets, though, where the main and the laterals have to be replaced. That's going to be a bit more invasive. But they'll do them a few streets at a time. And, you know, it won't be like the Main Street project we just had that was months and months of redesigning and rebuilding an entire road. But it will be disruptive. And so the good news is we have a 5-year plan to replace those 12,000 lead pipes, and we'll apply for another round of grant funding. We'll have people knocking on doors as it gets a little bit warmer, and we've sent out letters to be able to do that. But we do have a mandate now from the federal government to replace those lead pipes and money to go along with it. There'll be no cost to homeowners when we go to do this work, so it's not like they're going to get a bill after it happens. And, you know, gets the lead out of our water supply, which is something that's long overdue.
I was a little kid. Actually, it was during the Watergate hearings, 1974. They where I lived, they ripped up the entire street to put sewers in because there was no sewers in the area. And they ripped it up for the entire summer. And we had to park on the other side, about two blocks away. And it's okay if you're just walking, but my mother had to carry groceries.
Yeah.
She and every time she went out, she had to keep walking two blocks. When it was raining, it didn't make a difference. And it was just horrible. Yeah. And I felt bad for her.
It's an inconvenience. Yeah. If for people who have disabilities that they're dealing with, we do have the DART buses that will be made available if we need to bring people closer in. If they're, you know, if you're disabled, they're not able to get in and out. So we do want to accommodate people, particularly, you know, there's now an Americans with Disabilities Act that didn't exist when you were watching the Watergate trial that gives people better access. But we want to give people a heads up so they can plan for it and have the expectation for it for the weeks or so that it's going to be on your block. It will be an inconvenience, but in the long run, it means that we're going to get that lead out of the water supply, which, like I said, is a really important public health accomplishment that we want to do over the next 5 years.
Is that where the phrase, get the lead out, is that where it comes from?
I don't think so. But it is what I call the project internally.
Get the lead out. Maybe
we should play the Zeppelin on the way out here.
Get the lead out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. By the way, the pipe that goes from my house to the center of the street is clay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And because we had somebody snake it a couple of years ago, and he said, you got one little tiny branch going into the clay, but it's very tiny. It's nothing. And it's not even alive anymore. It's just there. But yeah, clay pipes.
We have some clay pipes that are still part of our infrastructure. We have some wooden pipes.
I remember 6th Street had wooden pipes. Yeah.
So, you know, hard to believe. But yeah, I mean, it is the journey of being a legacy city that's, you know, 175 going on 200 years old. We have some older infrastructure. What's amazing, though, is some of it still works just fine.
But clay and wood won't kill you. Lead pipes will. That's the good part. Okay, we had a listener yesterday who wanted to get her question in, and she wanted to know about Mark Rail, and I had to look it up. Mark Rail is the rail system from Milwaukee to
Kenosha. So people might remember a previous iteration. KRM was talked about maybe 15 years ago. This is a different proposal. It's really, it's fewer stops, but the idea would be that we would have passenger rail on that UP line that's where the Metra stops in Kenosha, that we would just continue that on for a stop in Racine, a stop at the Milwaukee airport, and then on to downtown Milwaukee. And if we can get that designation from the federal government, we can begin the work of planning that process. To do this, to be eligible to apply, the cities of Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee had to form what's called an intergovernmental commission. And so each of the respective jurisdictions voted to do that, and that makes us eligible to apply when those funds become available this summer. And then since then, Cudahy, which is where the Milwaukee airport stop would be, also said, hey, we'd like to join too. And so they've passed a resolution to be able to do that. And so we're very excited to have Cudahy joining us, and it'll put us in a really good place to have a strong application. I do have to give a note of thanks to Senator Tammy Baldwin, who gave congressionally directed spending, otherwise known as an earmark, to this region so that we could put the best possible application together. So we're very excited about when that application comes open this summer, that we will have a very competitive and exciting proposal to give to the federal government to do passenger rail. I mean, it just makes sense. We're between Milwaukee and Chicago. It's this huge metro area, but we don't have passenger rail in the core of those cities coming through along the lake. And so to be able to extend that service will be a great opportunity for Racine and the entire corridor.
Okay, that question's from our listener, Jamie, from Dave. This question just came in. Could you ask the mayor, are there any new developments with the YMCA location?
Yeah, I assume we're talking about the Lake Avenue one, because there's several YMCAs and YWCAs floating around in the downtown. But we hope to this spring put out what's called a request for qualified proposals to look what development is there. The expectation is that we would do some sort of housing redevelopment there that would overlook the lake. And so we're trying to figure out some of the geometry of the site and give people a clear expectation of what it would look like. But that is one of our best redevelopment sites. And so we look forward to whatever proposals might come when we put that out later in the spring.
I haven't seen it lately. Is it completely flat now?
It's not flat because it's still on a hill. So it's got a bit
I mean, is all the debris gone?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes, if you drove past it now, you wouldn't see any remnants of the old Y building or the parking lots below. It's sort of all been sort of flattened out. So it's a lot of memories, a lot of great memories in that space, but it creates an opportunity for something new.
I used to work out there.
Yeah, I did too. I learned to swim there, taught my kids to swim there. I miss it.
My wife was a swim teacher there.
Yeah, yeah.
Had her purse stolen in the parking lot.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Great memories. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think as people move ahead, again, if you're interested in your son or daughter who might be in high school going to Japan this summer, check out Racine Sister City and get some information out on it. We love to have your son or daughter apply and be a bit of a diplomat on behalf of the city of Racine as he sends some folks over to Japan this summer.
They'll say, what nice children they raise in Racine, Wisconsin.
That is the hope, yes.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. And when do they plan on sending them?
I believe it's in July.
This year?
Yeah, it'll be this summer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's coming up fast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure to have you in here.
Always happy to be here.
Good, honest answers. I like that. All right. His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason in, and we'll see you next month again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stay healthy.
Will do.
Okay.